A sloth, a donkey, and a curious human. Send a prompt and see what they're doing. One hits a record with a question on his mind. Two brothers pick it up, see what they find. Corn takes his time, Herman's got the facts. Back and forth, they never hold back. My weird prompts, come on in, that's where we begin. My weird prompts, glad you're here.
This episode was generated using artificial intelligence. Please verify facts.
Daniel sent us this one. He's got a move coming up, about 500 meters between two apartments in central Jerusalem. He recently bought around 10 to 12 Euroboxes, the 60 by 40 centimeter ones, to replace his IKEA storage setup. The idea is modular storage that works across homes and makes moves less of a nightmare. Last move was to a 7th-floor apartment with a tiny elevator, extremely expensive, extremely stressful, and the movers clearly resented how much stuff they had to haul. He's gotten rid of a lot since then. His game plan: do a few DIY runs himself with the Euroboxes over a couple of weeks so he can unbox gradually and leave the heavy appliances to professional movers. The actual question is, what piece of equipment should he use for the move between the two buildings? He's got a hand truck but doesn't think it's right for the job. He's been looking at folding trolleys. And he wants advice on ratcheting for safety, since tipping boxes would be a hazard for his belongings and for pedestrians. Flat terrain, decent sidewalks, doing it at night with less foot traffic, a few curves along the way but no major obstacles. So, what's the precise spec for this job?
This is a satisfying question. It's the kind of move logistics problem where the right tool genuinely transforms the experience from "I hate everything" to "this is almost pleasant." And the Eurobox dimension, 60 by 40, is the key that unlocks the whole thing. That's a DIN standard footprint. It's designed to play nicely with a whole ecosystem of handling equipment.
DIN standard footprint. You said that with actual warmth in your voice.
Because it's beautiful. The Deutsches Institut für Normung basically decided that a 40 by 60 centimeter module works for everything. It nests on standard Euro pallets perfectly. Four boxes fill a 120 by 80 pallet with zero wasted space. And what that means for a DIY move is that you're not improvising. You're operating inside a system that already has the right tools designed for it.
The folding trolley is looking at. That's the right direction. But you're about to tell me there's a specific one.
There's a specific category, and then within it there's a clear winner for this exact scenario. The category is a folding platform truck with a load surface of 60 by 40 centimeters. That's the Eurobox footprint exactly. The box sits flush on the platform, no overhang, center of gravity stays low, and inside the wheelbase. A standard hand truck, the upright two-wheel kind, is designed for stacking boxes vertically and tilting them back. With Euroboxes, especially if you're stacking more than two high, that tilt angle becomes precarious. The boxes can shift forward.
He mentioned pedestrians. A box sliding off a tilted hand truck onto a Jerusalem sidewalk at night. That's not just property damage, that's a whole interaction you don't want to have.
The platform truck keeps everything horizontal. Four swivel casters, so you're pushing or pulling a stable load that doesn't change orientation. No tilt, no shift. For 60 by 40 Euroboxes, the ideal platform truck has a 60 by 40 deck, a folding handle, and a load capacity of around 150 to 200 kilograms. That's more than enough for 10 to 12 boxes of household items, even densely packed books.
Let's put a number on what densely packed books actually weighs. A 60 by 40 Eurobox filled with books. What are we talking?
A standard 60 by 40 Eurobox, depending on height, let's assume the 32 centimeter tall ones, which are common for storage, holds about 50 to 60 liters. Books are dense. A liter of books weighs roughly 1.5 to 2 kilograms depending on paper stock, so a full box of hardcovers could be 30 to 40 kilos. 12 of those is around 400 kilos.
Which is way over the platform truck rating you just mentioned.
Right, but he's not moving all 12 at once. He said he's doing multiple runs over a couple of weeks. Realistically, he's taking 2 or 3 boxes per trip. 3 boxes at 35 kilos each is 105 kilos, well within a 150 kilo rated truck. The constraint isn't the truck, it's the elevator and the sidewalks and his own stamina.
The folding handle. Why folding specifically?
Because he lives in an apartment. Storage space is at a premium. A non-folding platform truck is a permanent piece of furniture. A folding one collapses flat and slides behind a door or under a bed. The handle folds down over the deck, and the whole thing is maybe 10 centimeters thick when stored. The trade-off is usually durability. Folding mechanisms add failure points. But for a residential move over 500 meters, not daily warehouse use, that's not a meaningful concern.
We're looking for a folding platform truck, 60 by 40 deck, 150 kilo capacity minimum, 4 swivel casters. Is there a specific model that hits all of those?
There's a German manufacturer called Fetra that makes exactly this. The Fetra folding platform truck model 2800 and something. 60 by 40 deck, 150 kilo rating, folding handle, weighs about 11 kilos itself. The casters are 100 millimeter diameter with rubber tread, which matters for sidewalks. Smaller casters catch on every crack and seam. 100 millimeter is the sweet spot, large enough to roll over pavement irregularities without turning the whole thing into a jackhammer, small enough to keep the deck height low.
That's the one with the blue handle?
Blue handle, gray deck, very utilitarian. Fetra is the premium option. If you want something more accessible, there are generic folding platform trucks on Amazon and at hardware suppliers that match the 60 by 40 spec. The key thing to check is the caster quality. Cheap casters with hard plastic wheels will rattle your fillings out on textured pavement and catch on every sidewalk seam. You want soft rubber tread, ideally with ball bearings in the swivel, not just a sleeve bearing.
Ratcheting. His second question. He's worried about tipping. What's the actual solution for securing Euroboxes to a platform truck?
But not the kind you use for tying down a motorcycle on a trailer. Those are overkill. 2-inch wide straps with a 1,000 kilo working load limit and a ratchet mechanism that weighs more than the boxes. For this application, you want a set of light-duty ratchet straps, 25 millimeter width, with a working load limit around 150 to 200 kilos. The length should be about 2 meters, long enough to wrap around a stack of 2 or 3 boxes and the platform deck, but not so long. You're dealing with meters of excess strap flapping around.
25 millimeter. That's about an inch.
And the specific feature to look for is a flat hook or a carabiner-style end, not the standard S-hook. S-hooks can slip off the edge of a platform deck if the load shifts. A flat hook with a spring-loaded safety catch, or better yet, a strap with a sewn loop at both ends that you can pass around the deck frame and back through itself. That's the most secure.
He's stacking boxes, running a strap around the whole stack, cinching down. Where does the strap go? Around the boxes horizontally, or over the top?
The primary strap goes over the top and down to the deck frame on both sides. That's vertical compression. It prevents the boxes from bouncing or lifting. If he's stacking more than 2 high, a second strap horizontally around the middle of the stack prevents the boxes from sliding relative to each other. For 2 or 3 boxes, one vertical strap is usually sufficient. The boxes themselves have interlocking lids. Eurobox lids have a raised rim that nests into the base of the box above. That gives you a surprising amount of lateral stability even before strapping.
So the system is already doing some of the work.
It's doing a lot of the work. The boxes aren't going to slide off each other easily. The tipping risk is at the platform level. If the whole stack tilts because a caster hits a crack or a curb cut at an angle, that's where the strap matters. It ties the stack to the platform as a single unit.
What about the route itself? 500 meters in central Jerusalem at night. I've walked those streets. The sidewalks aren't uniformly smooth. Some of them are that pale limestone tile with the textured surface. Some are poured concrete. Some are just ancient stone with gaps.
That's why the 100 millimeter casters matter so much. I'd also recommend looking for casters with a slightly crowned profile. The contact patch is narrower in the center, which helps with rolling over uneven surfaces without the wheel binding against edges. And the swivel needs to be smooth because on a sidewalk with curves, he's going to be constantly adjusting direction. Sticky swivels mean the truck veers unpredictably. A drop of silicone lubricant on the swivel bearing before the move makes a noticeable difference.
Let's talk about the hand truck he already owns. He said he doesn't think it's the right tool. Is he right, or is there a way to make it work?
He's mostly right. A standard upright hand truck with a tow plate is designed for a specific load geometry, tall and narrow, tilted back against the frame. Euroboxes are modular, so you can stack them vertically on a hand truck, but the stack height gets unwieldy fast. Three 32-centimeter boxes on a toe plate puts the top at nearly a meter off the ground, tilted back at a 20-degree angle. The center of gravity is high and rearward. Any sudden stop or bump and the whole stack wants to keep going forward.
He's on the 7th floor with a small elevator. He's probably not stacking 3 boxes vertically in the elevator anyway.
The elevator constrains the load shape. A platform truck lets him wheel a stack of 2 or 3 boxes into the elevator flat, no tilting, no maneuvering. Then out the bottom, onto the sidewalk, and away. The hand truck would require tilting the stack to get it through the elevator door, which is awkward in the small space.
There's also the unboxing, gradually, aspect. He said he wants to do this over a couple of weeks, a few runs at a time. That means the platform truck is going to sit in his apartment between runs. The folding feature isn't just nice to have, it's the difference between a tool that lives in the way and one that disappears.
That's worth emphasizing. A lot of moving equipment decisions are made for the move day itself and ignore the before and after. If the tool is annoying to store, you'll dread using it, and the gradual DIY approach falls apart. The folding platform truck earns its keep precisely because it vanishes between runs.
Let's get specific about strapping technique, because I think people underestimate how much difference the method makes. You said over-the-top vertical compression. Walk me through the actual steps.
You place the stack of Euroboxes on the platform deck, centered. The lids are on, they're nested. You take your ratchet strap, 25mm, 2 meters, flat hook or loop, end, and you hook one end to the deck frame on one side. Run the strap up the side of the stack, over the top, and down the other side. Hook the ratchet mechanism to the deck frame on the opposite side. Feed the loose end through the ratchet and start tensioning. You want it snug, not crushing. Eurobox lids are polypropylene. They'll flex a bit, but you don't want to deform them. Just enough tension that nothing shifts when you rock the stack.
If he's doing this solo, which it sounds like he is there a trick to keeping the stack stable while you're threading the strap?
Load the boxes one at a time onto the platform, and before you add the second box, make sure the first one is seated properly against the deck. The boxes have a slight lip on the base that centers them. By the time you stack 2 or 3, the interlocking lids are doing most of the stabilizing work. The strap is security, not primary stability.
What about a bungee net? I've seen people use those stretchy cargo nets with hooks around the perimeter. Is that a viable alternative?
For this application, no. Bungee nets apply distributed tension, which is fine for keeping a tarp on or holding loose items in a truck bed. But they don't provide the kind of lockdown compression that prevents a rigid stack from shifting as a unit. A ratchet strap creates a single, high-tension loop that essentially makes the boxes and the platform one object. A bungee net is a suggestion. A ratchet strap is a command.
A bungee net is a suggestion. A ratchet strap is a command. That's going on a t-shirt I'll never make.
I'd wear it, but the point stands. The other advantage of ratchet straps is that they don't degrade the way elastic does. Bungee cord loses elasticity over time, especially in heat. Jerusalem summers, the inside of a storage area can get quite warm. A ratchet strap is polyester webbing and a steel mechanism. It'll outlast the boxes.
Let's talk about the professional mover side of this. He's handling the Euro boxes himself and leaving the heavy appliances to the movers. That's smart, but there's a coordination issue. The movers show up, they're dealing with a fridge, a washing machine, maybe a stove. Are they going to be annoyed that some of the boxes are already gone and they can't just do a single clean sweep?
That's a real consideration. Movers price based on volume and time. If he's already moved a significant portion of the household in Euroboxes, the remaining volume is smaller and lighter, mostly large items. That should make the move cheaper and faster, which is good for everyone, but he needs to communicate this clearly when getting quotes. I'm handling all the box contents myself over 2 weeks. You're moving the appliances and large furniture only. That sets expectations and prevents the movers from showing up expecting a full apartment pack out and then being confused.
It prevents the resentment he mentioned from last time. Movers who feel misled about the job scope are movers who handle your stuff like it insulted their mother.
The other thing is that by doing the boxes himself gradually, he's not facing the unpacking avalanche. Professional movers can clear an apartment in 3 hours, but then you're sitting in the new place surrounded by 50 boxes that all need to be unpacked simultaneously. Doing it in waves means each wave gets unpacked before the next arrives. That's a genuine quality of life improvement.
The psychological difference between, I have to unpack everything this weekend, and I unpack two boxes on Tuesday evening while listening to a podcast, is enormous.
It's the difference between moving as trauma and moving as a manageable project. And the Eurobox system enables that because the boxes aren't disposable. They're not single-use cardboard that you're rushing to break down and recycle. They're permanent storage that happens to be in transit.
Let's circle back to the platform truck spec. You mentioned Fetra. Are there other brands that hit the same spec? Because Fetra is German industrial equipment. It might not be easily available in Jerusalem, or it might be priced for a commercial buyer.
The generic term to search for is folding platform truck 60x40 or clapbearer platform wagon, if he's willing to navigate German Amazon. In the Israeli market, hardware stores like Home Center or ACEs often carry folding platform trucks, though the 60x40 dimension might not be a standard stocked item. Online retailers that ship to Israel, Amazon Germany is probably the best bet for a true 60x40 deck. The shipping cost on an 11-kilo item isn't trivial, but it's not prohibitive either.
If he can't find a 60x40 exactly, what's the acceptable deviation? A 60x50 platform? A 40x40?
If he can't get 60x40, the next best is a platform that's slightly larger in both dimensions, say 70x50. You never want the boxes overhanging the deck edge. Overhang means the strap can't compress properly, and it creates a lever arm if the box catches on something. A slightly oversized deck is fine. The boxes sit inside the footprint, and the strap still works. What you don't want is a deck that's smaller than the box footprint.
The caster spec. You said 100mm rubber tread ball bearing swivel. Is there a specific caster material that's ideal for Jerusalem sidewalks? Because I'm thinking about that textured limestone, and also about the occasional stretch of just dirt and gravel.
Thermoplastic rubber, often labeled TPR. It's softer than polyurethane, grips better on smooth stone, and doesn't mark floors. Polyurethane is more durable for industrial use but can be harsh on uneven surfaces. TPR is the sweet spot for mixed urban terrain. If the casters are listed as soft rubber or elastic rubber, that's usually TPR or a similar compound.
Let's talk about the night move aspect. He specifically said he'd be doing this at night with less foot traffic. That's smart for logistics, but it introduces a visibility issue. Is he just trusting that Jerusalem street lighting is adequate, or should he be thinking about reflective elements?
Jerusalem street lighting varies wildly by neighborhood. Some streets are well lit, some are surprisingly dark. I'd suggest a small rechargeable LED light clipped to the handle of the platform truck, pointed forward and down at the path ahead. Not for him to see, the sidewalks are familiar, but for anyone else to see him. A moving stack of boxes on a dark sidewalk is an unexpected obstacle. A moving stack of boxes with a small light on it is a known quantity.
Clip-on bike light, 5 shekels, USB rechargeable, weighs nothing.
If he's doing multiple runs, a reflective strip on the side of the platform truck isn't a bad idea either. Self-adhesive reflective tape, 5 centimeters wide, a strip on each side of the deck frame. Passive visibility, 0 effort after installation.
What about gloves? He's handling boxes, ratchet straps, metal deck edges. Is this worth thinking about?
Yes, and not just any gloves. The Eurobox edges are smooth, but the ratchet mechanism has pinch points, and the deck frame on a folding platform truck is usually steel or aluminum with corners. A pair of mechanic-style work gloves, thin enough to maintain dexterity for operating the ratchet, but with a padded palm and reinforced fingertips, makes a real difference over multiple runs. Blisters on run 3 of 10 will make him reconsider every life choice.
There's also the question of what happens when he arrives at the new place. He's wheeling a stack of Euroboxes into the new apartment. Does the platform truck go inside, or does he unload at the entrance?
If the new apartment has an elevator, the platform truck goes all the way in. That's the beauty of it, door to door, no unloading and restacking in the lobby. If there are stairs, he unloads the boxes at the bottom, carries them up, and folds the truck to carry it up separately. The truck weighs 11 kilos. It's an easy one-hand carry when folded.
The full kit. If we're building a spec sheet, folding platform truck, 60x40 deck, 150 kilo minimum capacity, TPR casters at 100 millimeter diameter, ball bearing swivels. 2 25mm ratchet straps, 2 meters long with flat hooks or loop ends, a clip-on LED light.
I'd add one thing that's easy to overlook, a small roll of anti-slip mat, the kind used for lining tool drawers or keeping rugs in place. Cut a piece to fit the platform deck. It adds friction between the bottom box and the metal deck, which means the strap doesn't have to do all the work of preventing sliding. It's a 5-shekel addition that makes the whole system more forgiving.
That's the kind of detail that separates a system from a pile of equipment. Every element is doing something specific that another element doesn't have to compensate for.
That's really the philosophy behind the Eurobox approach in the first place. The boxes are standardized, so the platform is standardized, so the strapping is standardized. Nothing is improvised. Every component was designed to work with every other component. When you're moving house, which is inherently chaotic, having a system where everything fits and nothing is a surprise is calming.
Let's address the elephant in the room, which is that he could just use the hand truck he already owns and save the money. You've made the case that it's not ideal, but is it actually dangerous or just suboptimal?
It's suboptimal to the point of being frustrating enough that he might abandon the DIY plan and end up paying movers to do the boxes too, which defeats the purpose. A hand truck with Euroboxes stacked vertically means tilting a tall load backward, navigating it through an elevator door, then tilting it forward again on the sidewalk. Every transition is an opportunity for a box to shift. If a box shifts and he tries to catch it while holding the hand truck, that's when injuries happen. It's not that the hand truck is dangerous. It's that the friction of using the wrong tool accumulates over multiple runs until he either gives up or gets careless.
The friction of the wrong tool. That's a good way to put it. It's not about catastrophic failure. It's about every single trip being slightly more annoying than it needs to be, multiplied by 10 or 15 trips.
The platform truck doesn't just reduce annoyance. It changes the physical posture of the move. With a hand truck, you're pulling backward against a tilted load, which puts strain on your lower back and shoulders. With the platform truck, you're pushing forward with your body weight behind the load, arms extended but not bearing the weight. It's a fundamentally different ergonomic profile, and over multiple runs, that difference compounds.
What about the folding mechanism itself? You mentioned it's a failure point. What should he look for to make sure the one he buys isn't going to fail on run 7?
The folding mechanism on a platform truck is usually a hinge where the handle meets the deck frame, with a locking pin or a spring-loaded latch. The thing to check is whether the locking mechanism is steel, on steel, or involves plastic components. A steel pin sliding into a steel receiver, that's durable. A plastic latch that snaps over a metal tab that can wear out or crack. When shopping, look for product photos that show the locking mechanism clearly. If it's all metal, you're fine. If there's a plastic housing around the lock, read the reviews carefully for reports of the lock failing.
If the lock does fail mid-move, the handle collapses while you're pushing. That's not just annoying. The whole load jerks forward and you lose control.
On a quality platform truck, the lock is designed so that the handle folding direction is away from the direction of force when pushing. Even if the lock fails, the handle is being pushed into the locked position by the act of pushing forward. It would only collapse if you pulled backward sharply. It's a fail-safe design when done correctly.
Let's talk about the ratchet straps again for a moment. You said 25mm width. What about the ratchet mechanism itself? Is there a style that's easier to operate one-handed, since he's probably holding the stack steady with the other hand while he tightens?
A standard ratchet strap requires two hands to operate, one to hold the ratchet body, one to work the handle. But there are push-button or quick-release ratchets that can be tensioned with one hand once the strap is threaded. The mechanism is a lever that you pump rather than a handle you crank. For solo operation, those are worth the slight price premium. Alternatively, cam buckle straps instead of ratchet straps. A cam buckle is a spring-loaded clamp that grips the webbing when you pull it tight. No ratcheting, just pull and it locks. They're not as high tension as a ratchet, but for this application, securing a few boxes that are already interlocked, they're more than adequate and much faster to use solo.
That's the kind of strap you see on roof racks and kayak carriers, right?
Pull to tighten, press the cam to release. One-handed operation, no loose strap end to manage, and they're lighter and cheaper than ratchet straps. For a stack of 2 or 3 Euroboxes, a pair of cam buckle straps with a 100-kilo working load limit would be perfectly sufficient and much easier to manage alone.
That might actually be the better recommendation. The ratchet strap is more secure in an absolute sense, but if the user experience is frustrating enough that he skips strapping altogether on a quick run, the cam buckle that actually gets used is safer than the ratchet that stays in the drawer.
That's exactly the right trade-off analysis. The best safety equipment is the equipment you'll actually use every time. A cam buckle strap takes 3 seconds to tension and 3 seconds to release. A ratchet strap takes 15 to 20 seconds and requires both hands and some fiddling. Over 20 or 30 trips, that's the difference between strapping becoming automatic and strapping becoming a chore you start skipping.
Let's revise this spec. Cam buckle straps, 25mm, 2m, loop ends, or flat hooks. A pair of them. Faster, easier, still more than strong enough for the load.
The anti-slip mat on the deck means the cam buckles don't need to work as hard. The whole system is redundant in a good way. The interlocking lids, the friction mat, and the straps are all contributing to stability. No single point of failure.
What about the wheels going over curbs? He said there are curves along the way, but no significant obstacles. Does curves mean curb cuts, or actual curbs he'll need to bump up?
For a platform truck with 100mm casters, a standard curb is a problem. You can't roll up a 15cm curb with 10cm wheels. You'd need to tilt the whole truck back onto 2 wheels and lever it up, which defeats the purpose of the horizontal platform. If there are actual curbs without cuts, he needs to scout the route first and find the curb cuts. Jerusalem has been improving accessibility, so most intersections have curb cuts, but not all. A 500-meter route in central Jerusalem, Reshavaya, Talbiye, the German colony, those neighborhoods should have curb cuts at most crossings. But he should walk the route once before move night and note exactly where the transitions are.
Scout the route. That's basic logistics, but it's the kind of thing people skip because I know these streets. Knowing them as a pedestrian and knowing them as someone pushing 100 kilos of boxes on a platform truck are 2 different things.
The crack that you step over without thinking becomes an obstacle when you're pushing a loaded truck. The slight incline that you don't notice walking becomes a genuine effort. The narrow spot between a parked car and a planter that you slip through sideways doesn't work with a 60cm wide load.
Let's talk about the elevator logistics for a moment. 7th floor, small elevator. He's taking the boxes down in the elevator to the ground floor, then using the platform truck from there. How many boxes can he realistically fit in the elevator at once?
A standard small Israeli apartment elevator, the kind in older buildings in central Jerusalem, is maybe 110 by 140 centimeters internally, with a door width around 80 centimeters. A 60 by 40 euro box goes through the door easily if carried lengthwise. Inside the elevator, he can fit probably 2 stacks of 2 boxes, so 4 boxes per trip, plus himself. That's 4 boxes down, load the platform truck in the lobby, strap them, and go. 4 boxes at 30 kilos each is 120 kilos, right at the sweet spot of the platform truck's capacity.
4 boxes per trip, 12 boxes total, that's 3 elevator loads and 3 walking trips. Plus the return trips with an empty truck. That's maybe an hour of work total, spread over evenings.
That's the beauty of it. 3 trips, no rush, no exhaustion, no movers. He could do 1 trip per evening after work and be done by Wednesday.
Let's talk about one more piece of equipment that nobody thinks about. A doorstop. He's navigating elevator doors, building entrance doors, maybe a gate. Holding a door open while pushing a loaded platform truck through is awkward. A simple wedge doorstop. The rubber kind, not the wooden kind that slides on tile, makes every threshold crossing a one-person operation.
That's such a good call. The rubber wedge doorstop is the unsung hero of solo moving. 2 shekels at any hardware store, throw 2 in the kit. 1 for the building door, 1 for the apartment door. And while we're on small items, a headlamp. He said he's doing this at night. A headlamp leaves both hands free for the truck and it points wherever he's looking. The clip-on light on the truck is for being seen. The headlamp is for seeing.
Headlamp, door stops, anti-slip mat, cam buckle straps, folding platform truck. This is becoming a very specific shopping list.
It's a system. And the total cost platform truck, maybe 200 to 300 shekels if he finds one locally, maybe a bit more with shipping from Germany. Straps, 50 shekels, reflector tape, 10. All in, well under 500 shekels for a moving system that he'll use for this move, the next move, and as permanent apartment storage in between.
Compare that to the cost of the last move, which he described as extremely expensive, 500 shekels is probably less than the tip he gave the movers who resented him.
The Euroboxes themselves, 10 or 12 60 by 40 boxes, are maybe another 600 to 800 shekels, depending on the height and whether he got lids included. So the total investment is around 1,200 shekels for a storage and moving system that lasts a decade or more. Cardboard boxes for a single move, plus professional movers to handle them, would easily exceed that for just one move.
The economics of Euroboxes are compelling when you do the math. IKEA storage, a Kallax unit, or those fabric bins cost more per liter of storage, doesn't stack securely, doesn't survive moves well, and has no handling ecosystem. The Eurobox system is industrial logistics scaled down to apartment size.
The modularity means he can reconfigure. In the new apartment, the Euroboxes might live in a different configuration, stacked in a closet, under a bed, on a shelf. They're not tied to a specific piece of furniture. They're independent storage units that happen to also be moving containers.
Let's address one concern he might have, which is that Euroboxes are ugly. They're gray polypropylene industrial boxes. They don't exactly scream cozy home.
They're not decorative, but they're honest. They're the storage equivalent of a good kitchen knife, purely functional, no pretense, and beautiful in their effectiveness. If they're living in closets or under beds, nobody sees them anyway. And if they're visible, they have a certain minimalist utilitarian aesthetic that some people like.
The warehouse chic look.
But also increasingly common in any home where people have realized that decorative storage is usually worse at storing things. The fabric bin that collapses when you look at it wrong, the decorative box that's 30% smaller inside than its external dimensions suggest. These are storage theater. Euroboxes are storage.
I'm going to start judging every container in my home by whether it's storage or storage theater.
You'll never look at a wicker basket the same way.
All right, let's pull this together. If I'm summarizing the recommendation, and this is the deliverable he actually asked for, the top choice is a folding platform truck with a 60 by 40 deck, TPR casters at 100 millimeters, ball bearing swivels, all metal locking mechanism, 150 kilo capacity minimum. Fetra, if he can get it, a well-reviewed generic if not. Two cam buckle straps at 25 millimeters by 2 meters with loop ends, anti-slip mat cut to deck size, clip-on LED for the truck, headlamp for himself, rubber door stops, lightweight gloves, reflective tape on the deck frame. Scout the route at night once before starting. 3 or 4 boxes per trip, strapped every time, no exceptions. Communicate clearly with the professional movers about what they're handling versus what's already moved. Is that the complete picture?
That's the complete picture. The only thing I'd add is that he should do a dry run with an empty truck over the full route before the first loaded trip. Not just scouting on foot, actually push the empty truck over every meter of the route. You'll discover the one section of broken sidewalk, the one tight turn, the one door that doesn't stay open before you have 100 kilos of boxes on board.
The dry run. That's the kind of advice that sounds like overkill. Until you skip it and regret it. The philosophy here, and this goes beyond the specific equipment, is that a move doesn't have to be a crisis. It can be a series of small, manageable operations where the right tools make each operation almost boring. And boring is the goal. An exciting move is a bad move.
An exciting move means something went wrong. The boxes arrived intact, nothing tipped, nobody was injured, and it took 20 minutes. That's not a story you tell at parties, but it's the story you want to live.
The most boring move is the best move. That should be the tagline for this episode.
I'd put it on a Eurobox. And now, Hilbert's daily fun fact.
In the 1880s, Azorean whalers tinted the beads of their counting abacuses with a deep cobalt pigment derived from locally harvested woad and volcanic basalt dust, producing a distinctive blue-black hue that was prized for its visibility in low lantern light below deck.
Right. To wrap this up, the question that sits behind the question is whether the Eurobox system actually delivers on its promise. And I think the answer is yes, but only if you complete the system with the handling equipment. The boxes alone are half the solution. The platform truck, the straps, the small accessories, that's what turns modular storage into a genuine moving system. Without it, you're still improvising, just with nicer boxes.
The gradual approach. Moving a few boxes at a time over weeks instead of everything in one day, that's the other half. The equipment enables the approach. The approach makes the move humane.
This has been My Weird Prompts. Thanks to our producer, Hilbert Flemingtop. Find us at myweirdprompts.com, and if you've got a move coming up, good luck. Make it boring.
Make it boring.
This episode's script was written by DeepSeek V4 Pro, with text-to-speech by Chatterbox.
Thanks for listening to our show, My Weird Prompts, where odd thoughts go. From sloth slow takes to facts on cue, we chase the strange and follow through. Some nights it's news, some nights it's lore, a thought you've never heard before. The host dig in, the host dig deep. The stranger the prompt, the less they sleep. From tiny questions, big ones too, from half-formed hunches to deja vu. If something odd is in your head, send it in, we'll chase the thread. My weird prompts, that's the close. From sloth, from man, from long-eared host. My weird prompts, until next time, stay curious, keep weird in mind.